Thank you, Jesus. Everybody's getting ready. I want to say something. All right, can I say something to you? All right, we were in our prayer room in the back there. Man, God just began to put in my heart that sometimes we become overwhelmed, Dan, with everything around us. Have you been overwhelmed with things in your life? Come on. You've been overwhelmed with things. Come on, there's things that overwhelm us. They're bigger than me. Come on, I'm going to help you. They're bigger than me. There's things that sometimes, whether there's fear, whether there's doubt, whether there's finances, whether there's worries, whatever those things are, those overwhelm me sometimes. But I want you to know, as I stood in that back, God says, just like you get overwhelmed, I want to overwhelm you with my love. I want to overwhelm you. I want to overwhelm. Does somebody here want overwhelmed by God? I want overwhelmed by God. Hallelujah. I just don't want a lukewarm walk with God. I want a fire burning in my belly. Hallelujah. I want the fire of God. I'm here for a reason. I'm here to take what God has for me. I'm here to receive it. I want to be overwhelmed by God. Come on. I take that. Do you take it tonight? I take it tonight. I want to be overwhelmed by God. He wants to overwhelm you. Greater is He that is in me than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. Greater is He that is in me than he that's in the world. He, the one that's within me, is greater to overwhelm me than that which is in the world. Hallelujah. God wants to overwhelm us. Does that excite you? I pray if not, I pray that you're not going to be able to help it, but it's going to get a hold of you. Hallelujah. Whether you like it or whether you don't. Hallelujah. Oh, whether you like it or not, but there's going to be a fire that burns in you. Fire. Hallelujah. Fire. I love you so much. So much, man. And that's what I feel overwhelmed with sometimes. It's His heart for His people. Man, when I started out, when I was tired of church, I was tired of church, and I got burnt by church, I became overwhelmed with religion. Lost that first love. I became overwhelmed with going through the motions and doing rituals and doing different things and trying to get to God on my own. But I realized it wasn't about that. And God brought me back because He loves me. He brought me back to His heart. To His heart. I want you to know, when you have the heart of God, you will not be overwhelmed with the world, but you will overwhelm the world, hallelujah, with what you got. We will walk in miracles. We will walk in what He has for us. I want you to hear this and know. Listen, as I was at that place, I remember sitting in my car, Slippery Rock. I remember right where I was at, sitting there, crying. And all of a sudden, I remember I had the CD in my, put it in my glove box because I really didn't want to hear anything right now. I loved God, but I just didn't want to hear anything. You've been there? I took it out, I put it in, and all of a sudden the man began to talk about God's overwhelming grace and His love that He has for me. I heard it like I never heard it before. I pray that you hear it like you never heard it before. I hope that you're overwhelmed with what He's done. You're overwhelmed, that it overwhelms you. But you know what? Listen, I want you to know, I don't care. I don't care what someone thinks. I don't care. I want you to know that He wants to overwhelm you like a flood. And like a flood, He will overwhelm you. That means that this, that you can't get comfortable. You know what religion does? We get comfortable. We get as much God as we can. Just, you know, we just get that little bit where you're ankle deep. But I want you to know that He wants to overwhelm you. Whether you can't touch the ground, hallelujah, you can't get, you got to trust God. You're led by the Spirit. Those that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God, hallelujah. But they're moved by God. Whichever the way goes, whichever way goes, God, it takes me. That's what God wants. But when I was at that place, I'm a son, when I was at that place, God brought me to a place, my wife, I came back home. 2 days later, I get a letter in the mail from a church. And the church told me the name of the conference. It was Bishop Flowers Church. And the name of the conference was called, "For Zion's Sake, I Cannot Keep Silent." You're Zion. You're the sign, hallelujah. You're the city set on a hill, hallelujah. You are, hallelujah, God's Zion. Place where God's authority wants to abide, where God's authority wants to rest in His church. So we walk in authority. And God said to me that moment, I said that I can't forsake Zion. He said, because you got my heart. And I will overwhelm you with my love for church, for His people. Hallelujah. And I want you to be used. I want you to come to this people and stir a fire within us. Hallelujah. Come on. That we have a fire within our bellies that we can't keep quiet. That those who are out there, they got to get in this place. Why? Because they need God. They need a touch from God. They need to be overwhelmed by God. They need to be overwhelmed. Come on, let's give Him praise one more time as they go.
Unto the altar of Father's arms open wide, forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Come on, let's give Him praise. Hallelujah. Come on, I need to get charged up a little bit. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Listen, I want you to, don't be mad at me. Listen, I want you to look to your neighbor. You can go ahead and go down. Bless your mom. Listen, tell your neighbor, he loves you, whether you like it or not. Listen, when you don't love God and you are not even, He's not even on His mind, I want you to know you're on His mind. He's thinking about you 24 hours a day. Hallelujah. You're the apple. I'm going to convict somebody. Amen. Come on. I want you to know that He's thinking about you. Hallelujah. He's thinking about you. He's thinking about you. And every day He's waiting for today. Today. He's saying today, Minzy's going to hear my voice. Hallelujah. Minzy's going to come up higher today. Come on. Chris is going to come up higher today. He's saying this. Come on. He's going to know me like he hasn't known me because, listen, I have something for you. I have something for you, Beth. I want you to know me. You've been serving God since you were a little girl, but I'm here. You listen to me tonight. God says that I want you to know me like you've never known me, and I'm going to overwhelm you because you've been faithful. You've been faithful, and you're going to see a miracle of God on your body. You're going to see a complete recovery. You're going to be a restoration and a testimony of what God does. Hallelujah. And who God is. Amen. Come on, amen. Woo! Hallelujah.
Be standing there.
Your son. He's run. Hallelujah. But he can't hide. Come on. Amen. We declare right now as a church, we declare over that one, hallelujah, right now in Jesus' name. Bring him back, hallelujah. Bring him back to you, not just here. We like him to come here, but God, bring him back to you, hallelujah. Bring him back to you, hallelujah. Woo. Amen. Brother William, catch me if I fall, right? Amen, amen. Ephesians 2, 22. Hallelujah. Listen, I got too much. I had to put my Bible down today because I just said, God, just I can read for an hour on some of these scriptures that are just in my heart. I pray this prayer. Listen, this is life. I mean, I want you to know what God has done in my heart. That this is life. This brings something to me that I couldn't find anywhere else. This is life. It fills me up. Gives me hope and peace. And the Bible says that, I don't know if I have faith. This is your faith. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing. And hearing the Word of God. We become overwhelmed with everything else and our faith is lost. Why? Because we become overwhelmed with every word but God's Word. I want to be overwhelmed with God's Word. I want to be overwhelmed. I want God to amaze me. Amen. Eye has not seen, ear not has heard, nor has entered into the heart of man. What has God prepared for us? Amen? Take it right now. Come on, amen? Receive it. We receive it when we declare that. Amen? Remember what I said amen means? It means you take a stake and you drive it into the ground. into a firm place. That's what you say when you say amen. Amen? All right, good. Okay, Ephesians 2, 22. 22, 19, we'll see. Amen. I'm fumbling around here. Hang on. Jeez, where's Ephesians at? Hang on, there it is. I got lost. Ephesians 2. Yes, she's filled with the Holy Ghost, so she's all quickened. Amen. Ephesians 2:22, and it says this. Let me go to 19. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers. You are no more strangers. You are not foreigners, but fellow citizens with saints and of the household of God. For what when we receive what God has for us, you are no longer strangers. Amen? You are no longer strangers, but we are of the household of faith of God and are built upon the foundation of the apostles, what they declared to us to receive. Amen? The word of God that God used, inspired them to speak, that we receive it by faith and we build up our faith. Amen? Say, I'm built up. I'm built up by faith. And it says the foundation of the prophets and Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Amen? God's building something. God's building something, Randy. He's building something. And He says, I'm going to start off, and here's what it's going to be. I'm going to set a cornerstone. I'm going to be the cornerstone of the building. I'm going to begin to be your foundation of everything. I want you to know that He is my sure foundation. And whatever you build upon Him, it won't shake. It won't fall over. We've built upon things. We've built and we've built and we've built on things, and they shake to the ground. The Bible says it's been on sand, and it's shaken. That's what happens sometimes. We become overwhelmed. But He says, I want you to build it upon my word, upon what the apostle said, upon what the prophet said, and I want you to take that word into your life and believe it. And guess what? I'm going to begin it. I'm going to give you a cornerstone to build it upon, and it's Christ and Christ alone. Amen? He says, and in whom all the building is fitly framed, together groweth up unto a holy temple in the Lord. Listen. In whom you also. Are you getting hot in here? Is it warm in here? Where's Austin? Yeah, can you kill that thing? All right, thanks. You can leave the fan on for a little bit downstairs. In whom, I like to see the fans waving. It means it's cold. In whom ye are built up together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Listen, that you are built up for what? A habitation for God. You are to be a habitation for God. Listen, do you hear that? This is the heart of the Father. And our cornerstone is Jesus Christ. That we become a habitation for God. Don't get overwhelmed too quick. I want you to get excited about this. Because God desires us to be His habitation. He has pointed to this direction all the way through the Bible. Come on, I want you to see this and understand this, that all the way through the Word of God, from the moment of Garden Eden, He desired to habitate with His people. He wasn't a God that was afar off. Listen, this is the God that we serve. He wasn't far off. He wanted to be close. He wanted Adam to walk with Him, and He talked with Him. He had a relationship with Him. They had this heartbeat together, this oneness together. That's what your God desires, amen? He desires to habitate everything you do, to be from the left to you, to the right to you, on top of you, in you, through you, above you, all around you. Come on. That's what God desires. So we go from there, and He says in Moses, and it says Noah, build an ark and a boat, a place. And there's something powerful in that where He was a place, and He came into a place, was a place, and they went above their circumstances, their situation. Why? Because they were in the ark. They were in a place that God habitated, that God declared for them to get into, to build, create a place, a space, a moment, a place for me to abide in. And then all of a sudden, Moses comes on the scene, and God says the same thing to him. He says, I want you to build a habitation. I want you to build a temple. I want you to build a place that I can dwell in, that I can come and habitate in, that I can be with you. I don't want to be separated. I've delivered you for a reason. I delivered you out of Egypt so that you can become my habitation. I desire to abide in you. I desire to walk with you. I desire to talk with you. I desire for you to see who I am in the fullness of everything I have. I want to release it through you and into your lives. That's a hope. Do you know that's a hope that God has for me? Listen, this is an inheritance that God has given to me to give to my daughter. That she knows God, hallelujah. That she realizes that God desires to habitate her. That God desires to dwell within her. That God desires to rule and reign. If we begin to get this message for people to understand our children in those school places, then guess what? They are a habitation for God. If God is in the midst, hallelujah. Come on, amen. That if they know who they are, they walk with authority knowing that God is within us. No harm shall come. Come on, no harm shall come upon them. Standing on understanding, knowing who's within us. Come on, amen? Keep us from going places we shouldn't go. But then all through history, it went in and David created a space that he desired, that God desired to habitate, a place for him to abide. All through it. God says, my presence will be in that ark. Hallelujah. Amen? He said, I desire to habitate it. So God brings us to this place. He says that I desire to habitate. You need to take that and you need to remember that. God wants to habitate. God wants a place for habitation. I want to give God what He asked for. God, you want to abide in me? I feel it right now. I feel this right now. That you say, well, maybe Pastor Chris. But you. Come on, hear me tonight. God wants to habitate. That's why He died on the cross. So that He can abide with you.
Oh, you got it?
Let me see. Justin,
or just have one ready for me. Just in case.
He says, ready? I want you to get this because God gripped me with this. I want you to know that God wants to grip you, but we got to give Him that place to talk to us. Amen? We got to say, well, God doesn't talk to me. Are you listening? Are you putting yourself in a place? Mom, there's been times in my life where I said, God, you're not talking to me. And I realized, you know what? Guess what? I wasn't pursuing Him the way that I should. Amen. I wasn't drawing close to Him the way that I knew that I should. So He says this, the Lord is my shepherd. Say my shepherd. My shepherd. Hallelujah. My shepherd. He's my shepherd. We got to declare that and know that as I was driving, Lord, you're my shepherd. Hallelujah. You're my shepherd. I shall not want. Hallelujah. You're my shepherd. But before He goes there, He says this, the Lord. Not Lord, the Lord. He's declaring something, amen? He's declaring, what is He declaring? That He's just not Lord, because I want you to know we've made a lot of things Lord in our lives. We've made a lot of things Lord. We've made the things that we serve a Lord. We serve things. We've become servants to many different things. But He's declaring something. I want you to know that I am the Lord. There might be other lords around in your life, things that are crawling and grabbing for your attention, but I'm not a Lord. I'm the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I am the Lord. Man, I can just say amen to that. He is the Lord. The Lord. He is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. So there's a declaration there that He's declaring that He is the Lord. And we got to understand there's things that come and try to gain our attention. And we got to know this. We got to declare and we got to take hold of what God has to keep me from pulling and taking other things and bowing down. We do that a lot. But He says, no, listen. Tell someone, make room for Jesus. That's the name of our service. So make room for Jesus. In Psalms 24, then we can go all through this. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord, the house that He chose. And listen to me. You are the house. Tell your neighbor, you are the house. God, I'm going to give you what you want. Hallelujah. You spoke to the angels. You spoke to all creation, and they obeyed you. They said, yes, we will. God, Lord, I want to say, God, you desire me. You desire me to be the Lord. That you are the Lord. So we jump down here, and it says in chapter 24, I want you to get this. This is really good. And it says, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. That means that God, listen, I want you to know He claims everything. Because He's the Lord. He claims everything. The Lord, the earth is the Lord's. He says, it's mine. and everything that's in it. Whether you like it or not, I want you to know that you're the Lord's. Hallelujah. You were created by Him and for Him. And I want you to know that that's the most powerful. We understand that we have a purpose, that we were created for something. We are created to do something. We are created to let God flow through us. And most of all, we got to realize that we were created to be the habitation of God. Hallelujah. Of the Lord. Amen. I'm preaching myself, Kelly. I like this. Dude, I like this. And it says, and the world and they that dwell therein. He claimed us. Man, you're my creation. Listen, if I claim something, if I bought something, I got a patent on it. He got a patent on you. Man, legally, he had to go to court. And he paid the full price so that you can legally, he can get back his patent. You. His design. His masterpiece. Woo! That's good. I like that. And it says, and have founded it upon the seas, established upon the floods. Who shall ascend? Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? Who shall stand in His holy place? This is a declaration He's declared. Who will it be? He's looking for somebody. The Bible says that His eyes go to and fro on the earth for a heart, hallelujah. For someone with a heart that wants to take on all that He is, hallelujah. That wants to receive what He has for us and what He's done for us, amen. That He paid a price 2,000 years ago that we might have everything that He died for, all the inheritance, that everything that we lost, hallelujah, at the beginning with Adam and Eve, that we got back with Jesus Christ, amen. Hallelujah. The kingdom that we lost, He never lost the kingdom, but we lost the kingdom, the authority, the earth. And we blame God. Listen, this is what I want. We need to be mature Christians and understand that, listen to me, the things that are evil that are in this world are not from God, but they are there because we lost our authority. But we, hallelujah, because of Christ, have that authority that we can walk in and be empowered to walk it out. Amen? The Bible says all creation's groaning for you to realize you're the habitation of God. He says, he that has clean hands and a pure heart, who hath lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessings from the Lord, the righteous from the God, his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him and seek the face of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Oh, I like this. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 10:4. Don't go there until I give you the okay. Because you might know it. Say 10:4. Remember that? That's amen. All right? So say 10:4. Remember that? Remember they used to, do you guys remember? You know, they used to, the CBs? CBs? 10:4. What was that song called? Breaker 1-9. Look it up online. It's a great song. Great song. Convoy. All right. Stop. I still am a little flesh, but okay. He that has clean hands, he says, this is the generation. Say, this is the generation. This is the generation. Hallelujah. We're not the Elijah. I got a sermon I'm going to preach. I'm going to break you out of what was in the past. We're not the Elijah generation. Hallelujah. We're not the Moses generation. We're not the Jacob generation. We're not the Joshua generation. We are the Jesus generation. Come on, amen. We are Jesus generation. We are the anointed ones. Hallelujah. Christ in me. Hallelujah. We are anointed. We have that. I don't want we're Elijah. I want Christ in me. I want Christ in me. Amen. All right. So, and he says, are you okay? He says, lift up your heads, O ye gates. He's talking to you. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and let the King of glory come in. Where does he want to come into? To me. And he says, who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, ye everlasting. Lift up you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Hallelujah. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies. Amen. He says, He is the King of glory. 2 Corinthians 10:4. Say 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to pulling down strongholds. 10:4, 5:2. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That exalts itself, that we are called to pull down, amen, anything that exalts itself above God, hallelujah, that has no place. It has no place that we let the King of Glory in, that we are called, that no imagination, no thought in my mind, things that come your way, things that make you think that God doesn't abide with you because of this, because we got to know that guess what? He desires to abide with you, that Christ in me, we got to pull down imaginations and thoughts and things that try to disrupt that, amen? And he says, and itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought to obedience of Christ. That we bring it unto Christ. That we need to exalt Him. Amen. Not anything else. That He is Lord. Tell someone He's Lord. He's Lord. Exalt the Lord your God. Exalt Him. And I want you to know that when we begin to exalt God above our situations, hallelujah, there won't be nothing left, hallelujah. When we exalt Him, when we make Him, exalt Him above my problems, above my pride, above my hurts, that we exalt Him. See, I'm going to exalt Him. I'm going to exalt Him. I'm going to lift Him higher than my situations. Lift up, and all I ask this is open up. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift up your heads. Have heavenly thoughts. Heavenly thoughts. We for too long have let things overwhelm us that are in the earth, that are Christians that have done this. The church has let things overwhelm us. They overwhelm us. That are thinking in our head that I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, and we lose out. There's generations that have missed out on what God has for them. 2,000 years ago, He died, gave us the authority, and everything we need to do, we need to walk in it. We need to walk in it. Amen? He's a habitation. I like that. Psalm 68. Write these down. And whenever you have a thought in your mind, cast it out by the Word of God. Amen? Cast it out. Let God arise. Let His enemies be scattered. Let them that hate Him flee from Him. That's not it, but that's a good one. He says, sing unto the God, praises in His name. Extol, exalt Him that rideth upon the heavens. By His name, Yah. That means that's a covenant declaration of His name. He's a God of covenant. You'll fail me, but I won't fail you. This isn't about what you can do. It's about what I did. Come on, amen. Come on, get your eyes off yourself. He says, and rejoice before Him. Where? Before Him. He said, sing. He says, and a father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows. Is God in His holy habitation? I'm asking us tonight, is God, say this with me, is God in His habitation? Lift up your heads, O ye gates. We got to believe it, declare it, and receive it. Amen? And believe it and know what He did for us. What did He do for us?
Amen?
What did He do? He has given us. Amen? What has He done for us? Listen to this. Samuel 6. I'm going to read this to you. Samuel 6. I think it's Samuel, 1 Samuel, I think. Wow, is it hot in here? Where's Austin? Austin, that fan back here. Unplug that fan. Amen. Are you okay? You love me? Doesn't matter. I love you anyway. I love you anyways. Amen. I'm like Jesus. Amen. Let me see where this is. It is 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, I think. Oh, no. 2 Samuel. Oh, yeah. Here it is. Listen, I just want to read this to you. Amen. I just want to declare something. This is what David did. David was called of God, and God said, listen, I want my presence to be before my people. I don't want to be separated. I don't want to be afar off. He says, but I desire my presence to be in the midst of you. Listen, you know, they made some mistakes and they lost God's presence. Come on, the Philistines stole the Ark of God. Come on, you all know that. But I want you to know that here, and they got messed up because of it, but So here it is. Here's the Ark of God. Listen to this in 1 Samuel, or 2 Samuel 6. Again, David gathered together all the chosen men and women of God. He says, and he rose and he went with the people. We're from Bel. He went to Judah. He says, whose name is called the name of the Lord? Dwelleth between the cherubims. He says, and they set the Ark of God on a new cart. All right? Listen to this. They set the Ark of God, the presence of God. Remember, this was a shadow of what was to come. Look to your neighbor and say, you're the Ark of God. The Ark of God was the carrier of God's presence. He says that I want to abide in you. I want to pour out all that I am, my spirit, upon all flesh. Hallelujah. I desire to fill you up, hallelujah, with all that I am and all that I have. Do you know that's what it was? Everywhere. Do you know when the Ark of God came? It was a box with these angels on top carrying it. Think about when they carried around Jericho. They're thinking, look at this goofball. Listen, you don't know what's inside me. I'm going to tell you something you might not know, but they knew they were carrying the presence of God. That there was no enemy, that there was no wall that was able to stand against the presence of God in our midst. Come on, I want you to hear this. This generation, Joshua knew that. He knew that. He stood on it. Watch what God does. So here he was. So they were in this place, and it says, and they put it, and it says in Uzzah, it says in Ohio. No, that was not the guy that made Ohio. Sons of Abinadad, they drove the new cart. All right? It says, and they brought it out of the house of Abinadad, which was Gilboa, accompanying the Ark of God, and Ohio went before the Ark. Listen to this. And David and all the house, they began to play instruments. They began to worship. Worship's in the Bible. Come on, amen. This is what David did. When you get around the presence of God, you can't help but worship Him. And listen, when the presence of God is in our midst, you worship God. And if you don't desire to worship God, I want you to know that get out, run wherever you're going, because praise and worship follows. Praise and worship is evidence of God's presence to create atmosphere. Amen? So here he says, next verse. He says, and when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, blah, 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 keep going. They took hold of the oxen. They took hold of it. They hit a bump in the road. And what did they do? They reached up and they tried to hold on to the ark from falling over. Listen, I want you to know that this is what we do. Sometimes we wonder why the presence of God, or why things happen, or why things stop, or why things, you know, moves of God, or different things happen. Why does it happen? Here's what happens. Man gets a hold of it. They see what God can do. They're amazed by it. But all of a sudden, when something shakes and they're not sure what to do, go to God. Tell someone, go to God. But what they did was they tried to hold on to it. And they tried to handle it. They tried to control it. Do you know what carts are? They're big wheels and boards. That's what's been wrong with churches sometimes. Too many boards, too many big wheels. And they're trying to get their hand on God. Listen, God, we love you, God, but we're going to do it the way we want to do it. God says, well, all right, well, go ahead. Come on, amen. So I want you to see this and understand this. Here he was, and he says, and all of a sudden they made an error, and the ark, and it fumbled, it moved, and all of a sudden they were struck down. I want you to know that, listen to me, whenever you try to control what God's doing, we try to do that. We try to put God in a box. We try to get Him, we want to handle, but God doesn't want to be in a box. Hallelujah. He wants to overwhelm you with all that He has. Hallelujah. He wants to overwhelm you. And David understood it, and so he was so frustrated by this. He was at this place where he was frustrated. So he was hurt by it. So what they did was they stopped and they went back. And they didn't bring the ark, and they left it at Obed-Edom's. They said, we're going to leave this here. And I want you to know that he didn't argue with it. He said, this is the presence of God. Let me think about this for a minute. Yeah, I'll take it. I'm going to make room. He tells his wife, Miss Obed-Edom. He said, listen to me. Move my chair. Get it out of the way. Move the TV. He says, we're going to get everything that is in the way, and we're going to put the Ark of God, the presence of God, where? In our house. In the house. And they put it in the midst. And it says that David went for a while, but he came back. And when he came back, he seen that God had blessed Obed-Edom. He blessed him. He blessed his storehouse. He blessed all that he had. Why? Because he made room for God. He gave Jesus room. He gave the presence of room, God room in his house. He exalted him above whatever anybody would thought. Well, how about it? I don't know. No. Get it out of the way. Bring it here. Listen, bring it in the midst that I desire it more than anything. So David, listen to this. You okay? He says, so he took it. He says, and David took it. Let me read this real quick. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. He says, yeah. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom in all his household. Listen. When you stop controlling God, he'll take over matters that you've controlled a long time. Things that you couldn't fix on your own. You done yet? Come on. I need to be overwhelmed with God. I'm tired of cycles. I'm tired of cycles. I'm desperate for God in my life. Amen? And I'm desperate for that. And I know Obed-Edom had a hard time, but David says, No. This is mine. I'm taking this back home. This is the presence of God. I know we did some things wrong because we tried to control it, but we're not doing that no more. I'm done. I don't know about you, but if you've tried to control God, or tried to keep God in a box, God says, I'm not going to stay in a box. And if God doesn't want to be in a box, you're not going to be in a box, God. I'm going to let you do what you want to do. Amen? I'm going to trust you and love you and know, God, Lord, you have your way. Amen? He says, I'm tired of cookie cutter church. Amen? And he says, listen to this. He says, and David, he says, and they bear the ark of the Lord, and they go on 6 paces and they sacrifice. Every 6 paces they sacrifice, they worship God. Every 7 days. We need to do that. Listen, I know a man of God. This was, his name was, hang on, 1 second. John G. Lake, great man of God. But you know why he had great moves of God? Is because every 50 minutes, know where he was at, he opened up his Word of God and he read from the Scriptures. Now, listen, I'm not saying God's asked it, but I want you to know that there is something there that we desire, that we want it more than anything else. There has to be a place in our lives where we decide that, God, Lord, I want you more than any other words. I need your word in my life. John G. Lake left his place. God put it on his heart to go to South Africa. This was back in the 1800s where there really wasn't a plane that you could get on and go. There was a big ship, and he says, you got on that ship, and he got on his ship not knowing where he was going to go, but he listened to God because why? Because God was bringing him. He was driving God. He was letting God drive him, bring him to the place. He got on that boat with all of his children, 5 kids, under the age of 6 or 7, I think, yeah, something like that. Do the math, whatever, I don't know. But so they all got in. Here's this young wife, and she's sitting there, she's going with them, and they get there, and while they were on the way, listen, I want you to know that God makes a way for you. When you let him, when you give him room, you exalt him above everything else, and when they got to that place, God already spoke to a woman of God that was waiting on God, and God spoke to her and said, there's going to be a man, and he's going to have a wife, and he's going to have 4 children, 4 or 5, I don't know who they are, and he says, and they're going to be from America, and they're going to get off of this dock at this time. That's God. And when they got off the dock, they walked down, she interviewed everybody. Well, you're not him, you're not him, you're not him. And here he comes, walked up. She knew that this man was going to come. And he walked off and he says, hi. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know what he's doing, but his life was surrendered. He wasn't trying to control God anymore, but he was desperate for God in his life to do what God has called him to do. And when he got off that boat, didn't know where he's going to live. His wife trusted him. His children didn't know any better. And they got off and she said, hey, I have prepared for you a home for you and your family. And from that moment on, they walked off that place. God's just waiting, wanting people to be used, to be moved by Him. Over 580 churches started in South Africa because that guy said yes to God. And they're still there today. Come on, amen? That's what God does. So it says, and David danced before the Lord with all his might. Here's the king. Here's the Lord. He's the king. And he's dancing around this ark. Tell someone he's overwhelmed. Listen, I want you to know that this is a man that committed adultery, committed murder, and he realized everything that he's done was useless, that broke him, that hurt him, that almost destroyed him. He decided, God, I desire you to overwhelm me. more than all that things of my heart, all the lust of my heart, all the sin that is in there, I desire you to overwhelm me. So he was dancing. He began to dance before the Lord. He began to dance around. He began to step out of the box. He says, listen, I know what happens when you try to control God. He says, I'm done controlling God. If God says dance, dance. I can't help what's in my heart. Whether you get ashamed about it or ashamed for me, that's up to you. But I know what God did for me. Amen? Come on. We make a fool of ourselves in bars. I don't. Used to. And it didn't do nothing for me. Gave me a hangover. But God has done something for me. And you tell me I'm not going to dance. And it says, listen to this. And it says, and David, he says, and all the house of the Lord brought the ark to the Lord and shouting with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark came, it says, Michal, whatever her name is, Saul's daughter, looked through the window and the king leaping and dancing. Somebody's going to try to rob you. Come on. Somebody's going to try to take from you that move that God, try to take from your momentum where you get something stirred that you walk. I want to hear you. I want you to hear this tonight. Someone wants you to make you think that when you leave out of this place that God's not with you. I want you to know that David stood there and she was making fun of her own husband. She was making fun. She goes, you're a fool. You're an idiot. Look at you. He was dancing and his pants were falling down. His robe was hanging on the ground. He was a mess. His shirt was untucked. He was dancing because why? He was overwhelmed with a passion for God Almighty. Hallelujah. Something has got him. I want you to know that he let the King of Kings overwhelm him. That he was a king. But he knew a king that was greater than him. And his name was Jesus. And he became overwhelmed by him. And he gave up. He says, I have no more authority anymore. I'm going to exalt you above everything else. Woo! So he stood there and he danced. And it says, and she made fun of him. Get these on. Amen. He says, and she despised him in his heart. I want you to know that a jealousy will come upon people because they don't understand what's passion in your heart. You'll stir people. Listen, I want the church to stir people. Say, man, I want what you got. For so long they looked at us and said, I don't want what you got. I want them to look at me and say, I want what you got. I want what you got. I know what's in you. I know you got something. There's something about you. And it says, those ones will decide. There'll be those ones that despise. But we need to turn. Say, you know what? That's all right. I love you anyways. God will take care of it. And guess what? She never bore any children. She never bared any fruit. You could choose not to bear fruit, but I choose to bear fruit. I choose to worship God. I choose to bless Him. And if my pants fall down, they do. No. I got to wear a belt. It's okay. It says, they brought him to the place. And it says, as soon as David made an end of the offerings, it says, among the people, the multitude of Israel, it says, and he returned to bless the household. And it says, and it came before, he chose me before the Father and before all this house. He said, this God chose me. Tell your neighbor, he chose me. David understood something, that God chose me to bear his presence. I want us to hear that. He chose me. He chose you. For God so loved the world that no one would perish. No one would be lost, but they would have a place, that they would have a place to abide in. That He would be my abiding place. That He would be my safe refuge. Amen? That He would be my habitation. That's what God desires. Not even close. That's four scriptures. Got 32 more, but we won't get there. Say amen. Amen. So that means okay. All right, now, let me go here. Let me just go here. I want to go here. This is where I want to go. This is powerful because here's the moment that, listen, I want you to know that God's desire, we understand that God wants to make what? You His? God wants to make you His? See, I want you to know that it was all about that. This is what His desire was. And I got a whole bunch of scriptures that I want to share with you, but I can't do it right now. We'll do it some other time. But He says, I want to abide. I want you to make my habitation. I want you to be my habitation. I desire to abide with you. I desire you to know me as your shepherd. I desire you to walk with me through your situations. I desire for you to let me overcome things that you've done on your own. And let me do that. So here he was in Luke 19. And it says, let me get there. Luke 19? Yeah, Luke 19. All right. So this is powerful. I want you to get this. Before this moment, though, before that, do you remember the guy Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus, remember him? This is the guy that got desperate, that was tired of his situations overwhelming him. You tired of things overwhelming you? Come on. We don't have to let these things over. The Bible says, be of good courage, for I have overcome the world. Be of good courage, for I have overcome the world. He has overcome the world. Where is he? He's in me. He has overcome the world. Amen? He has overcome the world. Hallelujah. There's nothing that I can't overcome through Christ who's within me. So here he was. So he says, Zacchaeus was desperate. He says, I need to see him for who he is to me. I need to see him. I want to. That's what God's looking for, people with faith, that want to see him for who he is to you. Amen? That he can be your habitation. He desires to abide in you. So here he is. He goes to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, he says, Zacchaeus, come on down here. I want to talk to you. Listen, here's what he said. You ready? You ready? He says, he ran before me, climbed down. Zacchaeus, make haste. Come down for today. For when? Today. Say it again. Today. What does he want to do? Today I must abide where? I desire to abide in your house. You want to meet me? You want to know who I am? I want to come to your house. I want to make you... Listen, I want you to know that here is this guy that was a sinner. Come on, just like us. Wrecked lives. Messed up. Are you kidding me? You want to abide in me? All the things that I've let abide in my life that I've exalted above you and you want to abide in me? Yeah. Yeah. If you believe, I'll show you how great I am in you. I will show you. I will reveal myself to you. I like to take the weak, those that are broken and hurt, and I like to make them strong when I'm abiding with them. So he went to that place. And Zacchaeus got crazy, crazy. Well, he was all fired up. He ran to his place. Listen, and he says, he made haste. He received him joyfully. He was fired up. Amen? Sometimes you need to come to church a little excited. I'm just saying. He says, we need to receive Jesus joyfully. Put a smile on your face. Someone said, well, I don't feel like it. Don't matter. Just do it. That's faith. Tell someone that's faith. Come on. Smile until it becomes the evidence of things not seen. He took and he began to give everything. He says, and they began to murmur and laugh and say, are you kidding me? But this guy had faith to believe that God wanted to buy his house. And it says, and he said, on this day, salvation has come. This salvation has come to your house. For as much as you also are son of Abraham, this is covenantal, that you are son of Abraham. Amen? You are part of a covenant. Amen? And he says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Hallelujah. That which was lost, I've come to seek and save that which was lost. And all of a sudden, here he is. So here's Jesus. He gets done declaring this. There's so much more in the next. I'm going to skip a whole place. I'm going to bring you to 19. And he says this. It says, and Jesus was at a place, and he looked to his disciples, and this is what he said. He says, go into the village over against you, in which you're entering, you shall find a colt. Some scriptures say, ready? Ass. It's in the Bible. I'll show you Matthew. It's in Matthew, okay? He says, and some of us said, it says, and it was an ass. And he says, and you'll find it, and it'll be tied. And some scriptures, it says that it will be there, it'll be at a crossroads. I want you to know that, listen to me, that God, every one of us comes to our crossroads. We're a place where we make a decision. He says, I want you to go there, and I want you to give them the word. He says, and what do we tell them when we go there? He says, I want you to loose them. Hallelujah. God has called us to loose sons and daughters, those that have been lost. We are called. I want you to know what our purpose is. When you walk up to somebody, you give them hope, and you let them know that God has something more for them, that God loves them, that God desires to habitate them, that God desires to dwell in them, that God loves them. Hallelujah. And he will turn what has been broken, and he will release you. Amen. He will give you anointing. And he says this. He says, and he went to that place, and he says, and they went there, and guess what? They're there. Here's the donkey, an ass, tied to a tree, tied to a post, a doorpost, a place. It speaks to me that he was on a place, tied to a post, tied to a gate. He says they didn't know whether to go in or to go out. Didn't know which way. Come on, it sounds like us sometimes. We're overwhelmed by everything around us. You're standing at that crossroads and you don't know which way to go. I'm here to tell you tonight, God spoke to my heart that there are some people right here tonight that you're at a crossroads, not which way to go. But Jesus says, I've come to give you good news. I've come to tell you that I have come. And he says, what do we tell them if they tell us what do we do? He says, here's what you tell them. Tell them that I have use for them. I want you to tell them, I have use for them. Here's this untamed donkey that nobody ridden before. Nobody's ridden. You couldn't control it, kind of like me, that my flesh was out of control. Has your flesh been out of control? Will you just let things go wild and things overtake you, that you become overwhelmed by things around you? God says, I'm telling you, I've come to the crossroads where you come to a place where you decide, listen, I have use. Well, what do you have use for? And they still don't know what's going on. What? Jesus always walks everywhere. All of a sudden, he wants to ride this donkey. This is a donkey. I'm talking about us. He says, I want you to go get it because, tell him I have need. I want you to know that, listen, I remember the moment, the day, the good news came to me. I stood in the back of the church where I heard the news that he loved me. He desires to habitate me. I heard that news. I was tired of the crossroads, didn't know which way to go. And God says, I desire that I have need of you. Oh, I want you to know, I want you to receive that. Take it right now. I feel that by the Spirit. Receive it. God has need of you. Doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter how young you are, God has need of me. He wants to habitate you. He wants to overwhelm you with His goodness and His mercy. He wants to overwhelm you. I want to know His greatness. Come on, amen. And it says that they took him. He says they brought him to that place. Okay, 2 minutes. Brought him to that place. And they brought him. And it says all of a sudden at that moment, Jesus. I want you to know that this was powerful. This is scripture. I don't have time to read all the scriptures, but there's so many in this. We can look all the way through the Old Testament where Jesus declared this moment right now. Jesus was the Word of God made flesh. He was standing before them to receive what He's already declared. He says that He would ride in on a donkey. Come on, I've shared this before, but a donkey. And it says in some scriptures, it says not just a donkey, but a donkey of a fowl also, a baby. Say baby. I want you to know that here it is. Here's Jesus coming through, and they took all their garments and they placed their garments upon it. I want you to know how that donkey felt. I want to make a movie about that. About that donkey. There might be. I don't know if there is, but I think that's powerful. Here's this moment. This is the day of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to be lifted upon a donkey. It's going to enter in. They're waiting for the King to come in and usher in the kingdom of God, and He's on a donkey. Listen, I want you to get this. So as he was going in, it says that he says he was sitting upon the donkey, sitting on the side, and that little donkey was right beside the mama, and he had his feet on it. This is very uncomfortable, doesn't look good, but I want you to see. Here's the donkey walking. Here's the baby donkey walking. And what does it look like? It looks like a throne. He said he was ushering in the kingdom of God. All that God has. All that God has and all that God is was ushering it in. I want you to know that He used a donkey to demonstrate to us, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what name you're from or where you're from, you're of a new generation, I give you. You weren't born by blood or the will of man, but you were born by the Spirit of God. And I've given you a new name. I put a new heart within you. And if you believe it, if you believe it in your heart to know that I want to demonstrate who I am. And it says, and that donkey went through that place and walked out. I'm telling you, I just imagine. Come on. I want you to think about. As they went through that place. As they come up here. As I begin to read the scripture. You can look at Isaiah 9. Sometime. Not now. Whenever. All right, I will. Since we're just... They're going to do something. We're closing. Amen? I'm allowed 4 closings legally. Theologically. Isn't that... That's right. Right? Isn't that, that's what you learn in school. Amen. Yes. And he says the dimness was light afflicted the land. And the people that walked in darkness... I want you to know that here are these people that were walking in darkness and riding upon Boney. The Bible says, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is upon us. Listen, I want you to get this and know this. Here's John the Baptist shows up, and he's preaching something. He's saying, there he is. He is the King. He is the Messiah. He said, He's here. The kingdom of God is here. It's at hand. And they heard Him, but they didn't hear Him. There was a voice going forth. The Spirit of God was speaking. I want you to get this. All those people are there. God demonstrated all that He was everywhere. They've seen all the miracles. They've seen all the stuff. And only so many people grabbed hold of it at that moment, that time. Jesus was there. He began, but they didn't hear. They didn't have an ear to hear what God was saying. I declare tonight that you hear what God's saying. That He desires to abide in you. It's not just a religion. It's not just it's about a relationship. It's about you knowing who God is. That something within you have an understanding that you know that God dwells with me. He walks with me. And He talks with me. And it says, and as He went, it says, and listen to this.
You can just...
He says, for a battle of warriors, he says, confused, but He's come to break the yoke, the burden of the oppressor. That thing that has kept you from receiving what He has for you today. Amen? Listen. And He says, for unto you a child is born. This is prophetically declaring something. I want you to get this. Unto you a child is born. And He says, and He's given the authority and the power, and everything is upon His shoulders. Upon His shoulders. And He says, and His name will be called Wonderful Counselor. The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. Hallelujah. The Prince of Peace. Everything He's declared. He says, I desire to be upon you. I have no place to rest my head. I have no place. He wants to rest it upon us. We are the body of Christ. He wants to rest upon us. All that He is. This wonderful, everlasting, mighty God. The Son of God. He says this. That all of a sudden He shows up and He's born in a manger. The Bible says that here's the Son of God, Dan. God Almighty. He was already declared to come. I'm good where I'm at. And it says that they went and they tried to find it, and Jesus was about ready to be born. And they knocked on the doors. They knocked on the doors of the inn. They said, can we come in? And they said, no, we have no room for Jesus. And they said, the Bible says that they found no room. There was a generation that had the moment of Christ. Christ Emmanuel, God with us. He said, here He comes. I've come presenting it to you. Here He is. He desires this of you. He desires to abide in your life. And He said, there's no room. They shut the doors. Oh, I want you to know, they missed out. Because a couple of days later, all of a sudden you find Him again, Dan. And it says the wise men came. And when the wise men came, they said they had myrrh, frankincense, and gold. They filled the house up with all what the King had. I desire to have what all that God has in my life, in my house. I'm tired of being the less. I want to take all that God has. Would you stand to your feet tonight? I'm tired of it. I want to exalt God above my problems. I want to exalt God above my situations. Listen, I want to exalt Him so much that whenever fear comes upon me, that I exalt His name and fear has to leave. But I let God arise in me. I let God arise in me. I'm led by God that I sit upon Him and say, God, wherever you want to take me, Jesus, I'm good to go. Hallelujah. Because you're Almighty God. Hallelujah. Wherever you go is where I want to go. That I exalt Him above fear, above doubt. I exalt Him above addictions. I exalt Him and He'll break it. Put His name above it. Make room for Jesus. Push some stuff out of the way. Say, God, fill this house tonight. Fill this house tonight. That's my heart. Listen, I want to see God fill people and touch people like never before. I want to see people overwhelmed with God. I desire it. I want to be like the woman that said, she grabbed hold of the man of God, the Word of God. She says, here He is. And she grabbed shoes. I'm going to make room for you in my house. I need you in my house. I'm going to tell you, thank God she did, because her son got sick. And because she made room for the Word of God, that Word of God healed her son. And all of a sudden she gets to a place and hears the Word of God. She says, I want you to go. He says, and for 7 years there's going to be a harvest of famine. No food. She listened to the Word of God, because why? She made room for God. She came back 7 years later. She came back to the King. She says, I want my stuff back. He says, Elijah, who are you? And she began to declare who she was. And she took hold of the word of Elijah, the prophet, lived in her house. Here's, listen to me, lady. Everything that you lost, it's yours. I give it back. Your land, your house. He says, and listen, I'm going to give you 7 years, hallelujah, 7 years worth of harvest because he was in your house. I want you to know you don't have to make a way. He made a way for you. You just need to say yes. Come on, let's sing this unto God. I want you to exalt him above your situation, your problem, your hunger for God. I want you to come. Lift up your hands wherever you're at. You're done fighting. You're done battling. And exalt his name tonight. Come on, let's sing. Something has taken place within us. God, Lord, that no matter where we go, no matter where we run to, God, Lord, that you are there. You're the right to the left, hallelujah, reminding us that you desire to habitate us. Not part of us, but all of us. You want to bless us. You want to bless us. Lord, I submit to you and I exalt you. In your name we pray. Amen. I'm blessed and highly favored. Listen, we have food downstairs, but I want you to keep this in mind. God's doing something. I'm telling you, God's doing something. I want you to grab it. I want you to grab what God's doing. All this stuff happened, and the children of Israel sat there. All the Jews, those ones there, and they killed the good message. They killed it. They didn't make room. I desire to make room. Next week, I'm going to talk to the whole congregation because I want us to prepare. God spoke to my heart, and he says, I want you to get ready for a 21-day fast. And it doesn't mean you're fasting food for 21 days. But it means that you are setting something aside. Say, thank God. But God told me, he says, how desperate. The Bible says he calls a fast to break yokes. I want a fire. You don't have a fire, God. I'm telling you, we're going to begin a fast. That the whole church, I'm telling you, at the end of 21 days, God's going to drop something and put something in this church. Come on, that your friends, your neighbors, those that are around you are going to hear it, and they're going to say, I want a part of that. Or you go to that church, oh, I got to go with you. And God will get the glory. God will get the glory. Because we're going to give him all the glory. God's going to break some things you couldn't do on your own. We're going to take it aside. I'm going to talk about that, what we're going to do, how we're going to do it. But we're going to speak it in the week after Easter. We're going to begin it. There's some things you're battling. They're about ready to break. God's going to turn it. He's going to turn it. And you're going to stand back right here and you're going to remember this moment. And you're going to pressure me to open the church. I got to get the church. I got to get before God. I got to worship God. Come on, there's going to be a hunger that's going to flow out of this house. God says that I heard the sound of the voice of mighty waters. Many waters. God spoke to my heart and says, you're the waters. You are. Out of you will come living waters. And it'll create a stream, a river that you can't control. Come on, get ready to break out of your shell. Get ready to be loose in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, we declare with all of our hearts,
Just don't forget about the meeting.
Right where it hits, it's my, where I force it, support it underneath.